Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me, straight up to my face.
Hour number two is upon us on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Still plenty to come on the show today, but right now we bring on Jeff Calkins, columnist from the Daily Memphian, and also from the Jeff Calkins Show on these airwaves, 9 to 11, joins us every single day. Jeff, how are you doing? How's it going?
It's okay. It's a little soggy out here today.
Yes.
I will warn you.
Yeah, I saw that while I was in the studio.
Yeah, it is. There's not a lot of windows in there. We don't have a lot of windows in there, so sometimes it's hard to keep up to date with the weather developments. But I will tell you, the weather developments are trending towards soggy.
Yes. Are your teeth feeling better? Are we back on our feet to a certain extent there?
I'm back on my teeth are back on my feet. Yep. I'm. You know, as we said yesterday, next tooth up, I'm a warrior, and onward we go.
I get you. Now, we opened our conversation yesterday on Brandon Miller and the updates there. I'm assuming at this point that you caught at least a little bit of his attorney.
I've caught nothing. You are literally going to inform me because
okay.
I've been otherwise engaged.
Well, his attorney basically came out and. With the update yesterday, basically said that he did not understand where he was bringing the gun to, why he was bringing the gun, things that we talked about yesterday. But obviously, you know, we'll give you a chance to read that. But if I'm basically surmising it, that's what it was. It was he had no idea what he was doing.
I don't care.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there any difference when you go in and read stuff like that?
At that hour of night, I don't care. Like, at that hour of night, if someone says, why are you bringing it? No, I don't care. And honestly, what ultimately happened does shape how you feel about it, 100%. If he had brought his gun to the guy and nothing had happened, we wouldn't be talking about it. He brought the gun to the guy, and the guy, you know, immediately, within minutes, evidently, committed a murder.
Yeah.
I mean, that does matter. But it's very clear. It's like yesterday when we talked about whether he's an accessory. Very clear, the DA said they can't charge him because to be an accessory to some crime, there has to be either an awareness or you should have been aware of what was going to happen, right? And so, it's like I said before, if I was dropping you off at the bank and I had no idea you were going to rob the bank, that doesn't make me an accessory. It just makes me the guy who gave you a lift to the bank. And so, if I knew that you were going to shoot someone with the gun and brought you the gun, that would make me an accessory. So I do understand why he wasn't charged. I do not understand why he's playing for Alabama.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Nobody who has heard this story, who is not a bizarrely fixated Alabama fan, thinks anything of it.
Have you
encountered anyone who has heard this story who has thought, oh, sure, Brandon Miller should be playing for Alabama?
No, there's not. Besides the Alabama fans, which is what you're mentioning. They're playing South Carolina tonight, and here's the other thing, the other added element to this. This distraction, when we're talking about him trying to play in opposing gyms and in gyms when they get to the NCAA tournament, that's going to be an issue as well that Alabama's going to get out, have to get out in front
of. In terms of W's and L's, though,
Right.
I can totally see. I'd rather have Brandon Miller playing for me.
Yeah.
If that's all we were talking about, the distraction or not, right? Would I, in terms of if you're apt to win, you are more apt to win, even if they're having to ask. And then the truth of the matter is, people won't ask questions after every game. So, you know, in the second half there, were you thinking about Brandon Miller bringing a gun to something? Like, that's not going to
– Right.
But there's no question. Whatever – let's just say they go on to win the national championship this year. Let's just say that.
Okay.
With Brandon Miller as the outstanding player. How's that going to – like, how will it be remembered forever? Right? Like, I – at this point, I do think from an Alabama perspective, it's a little weird to think what they have to gain. All anyone can think is you are a morally bankrupt institution playing a player, and the longer you play him, and honestly, the more wins you stack up because of him, the more morally bankrupt you're going to look.
Yep.
So to me, yes, you're right. It's going to be a distraction, and it's going to cast Alabama in disrepute every time you see him walk onto the floor.
Yep.
Introduced on the floor. And if he's introduced on the floor at the Final Four, it's only going to be worse.
And there's already discussions, too, at South Carolina about sort of heckling him using this, which is bad taste to me in the grand scheme of things, but that's what it's going to be. That's going to be life going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they. I mean, with all due respect, like Alabama and Brandon Miller deserve it. Like,
yeah,
I don't believe in heckling or booing or whatever else. Certainly the home team, and I'm not a big heckler or booer. Period. But if they are if they are putting themselves in a position here to be heckled, I have no problems with people heckling away.
And I also
I think this is one they should be heckled for because, you know, I'm over here heckling myself.
I'm also concerned with the fact, like Nate Oates, and we look at what happened this year. I know we get lack of institutional control for giving out money and payments and stuff like that. How does this not rise to at least some type of lack of institutional control from the NCAA? Like, there should be some type of sanction to see, damn, how did you let this happen in your program? How was this all played out?
Yeah, I mean, one of the weird things is that, and it is sort of this odd, juxtaposition, that the NCAA can be very throw the book, although it hasn't been lately, can very be much throw the book at them for NCAA-type violations,
yeah.
But they don't get involved in things. They just don't,
yeah.
Typically, with things that involve criminal charges. And so even if, honestly, so they didn't at all, if you go back to the Paterno.
I think we lost Jeff. We'll have to
get him back.
We'll have to effort him back on. We'll have to effort him back on. But no, I think that's unreasonable to think that we have out there NCAA sanctions for, and I Jeff brought this up yesterday, $11,500 payment supposedly to James Wiseman's mother. And you get slapped with lack of institutional control for things like that. And this doesn't rise to anything in the NCAA's eyes. I think that's unbelievable. I think we got Jeff back. Jeff, you there?
Yeah. Evidently, this is part of the experience of talking to me at 5 o'clock. But I could hear you the entire time.
Okay.
So the NCAA historically doesn't get involved in criminal stuff. They just they look at lack of institutional control only when it comes to areas of that are specifically NCAA violations. The times that they've honestly done otherwise, like in the Paterno case, at first they did nothing, right? Because it wasn't an NCAA case when you have a coach, a pedophile on your staff, that's a criminal case. Then, weirdly enough, then they did later on weigh in because they were and they had to roll a lot of those punishments back subsequently. It is one of the weird things about it. I don't really think it is a quote-unquote lack of institutional control. They did exactly what they meant to do here. You know, they continued to play him. I think Alabama and the NCAA will simply say this is not our jurisdiction. This is not our jurisdiction. You can go ahead and play a player when it comes to criminal disciplinary matters. If he's not charged, NCAA is not going to get involved in this. I would think that the people who care about the reputation of Alabama as an institution, I would think they would get it. And I understand football matters and basketball matters and W's matter and whatever else. But I would think in the end, there does come a moment where the people who care about the institution, whether it's the president or people on the board of trustees or whomever, says, listen, we can't be seen as the school that allowed the guy who delivered a murder weapon to a murder scene. We can't be sit him down. I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened, but they obviously made the decision that they made when they made it. And thought that, you know, that was the correct decision. And now it feels like they're going to just dig at their heels. And so I do hope they get heckled. And I think they deserve to be. Again, it's like, would any other student involved in any other extracurricular activity be allowed to continue in this circumstance? And the answer very clearly is no.
Yeah, and I guess the point I'm getting to, I get it's not, it doesn't fall under, you know, lack of institutional control, but the NCAA doesn't get involved in these matters at some point. Why not? Why wouldn't you get involved with those things? It is what it is, though. Talking with Jeff Coggins from the Daily Memphian, also from the airwaves here. Jeff Coggins Show, 9 to 11. Tennessee loses to A&M again last night. They're 2-5 in their last 7. Where are you at on that team? Obviously, they've been in the top 5. They were 2 at one point during the year. Where are you at with Tennessee? Just about where you are every year with Tennessee under Rick Barnes?
Yeah, I think in fairness, right now, you know, they're not at full strength. And so I think the first thing they have to do is get healthy. And when you're missing two key players as they were last night, the problem is this, is when you have a history of floundering, you know, when it matters, the first signs you give people are quick to say that same old Tennessee, and they will say that it's the same old Rick Barnes. That's what they'll say. They'll say that's a Rick Barnes team. And they will say that until he goes on the kind of, you know, tournament run that he's never been on. Mm-hmm. And that's just when you develop a reputation, as he has, as a guy who, you know, does not do well when it matters, that's what people will get to. I think last night, you look at it, I mean, Texas A&M is really good. They got to the line a lot, which is what they do. Tennessee was you know, missing a couple of key players. It's on the road. That was not a bad loss by any stretch. Mm-hmm. But because they have had the run that they've had now, and honestly, because of what has happened with past Rick Barnes teams when they get to the tournament, people are very quick to want to say, yeah, I've seen this before. And they're going to keep saying that until he gets to the Final Four. Let's be honest.
Didn't we kind of escape that last year toward the end of the year when they won the SEC tournament and they went into the tournament hot? Like, they tried to escape, and it still inevitably ended the way it ended.
Yeah, getting to the SEC tournament does not make that go away. The NCAA tournament makes that go away. And then the way it ended did not help them. So that's my sense there, is that, and it may or may not be fair. Like Gary has said many times, that it's crazy to be judged on such a random thing as a tournament, you know. But over time, I don't think it is crazy. It is in a particular year. If you got a bad tournament, flop out, whatever else, that can happen. I think over time, it does become part of your record appropriately, and it is part of his record. But I still think Tennessee is a really good team. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, if you look at Houston, what's the difference between Tennessee and Houston?
They're both not much.
Good teams that have problems scoring, right?
Just ones so in the SEC dealing with a lot tougher opponents.
You can imagine either one of them, depending on the brackets, the way the brackets fall. You could either one of them going to the Final Four or winning national championship. You could also imagine either one of them not getting to the second weekend.
Right.
You know, like, they're not so overpowering that you couldn't see them losing a second round game. Neither one of those teams, I don't think. They're actually remarkably similar. Memphis likes it because they obviously beat Texas A&M, but Texas A&M at this point is firmly a quad one win in any case. I think Memphis fans are happy. They're happy because Tennessee loses, and they're happy to see because a team that they beat was responsible for it.
So with that, you mentioned Tennessee and Houston being similar. I tend to agree with that. Houston's number one in the country, though. So, like, who in college basketball meets the requirements for you to think that they're going to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament?
I don't have an answer to that.
Right.
I don't have any conviction. Do you have what team about what – John Martin has conviction about Kansas –
Yeah, and Kansas, Baylor, I think UCLA's kind of sneaky. Alabama, although with what's going on, that's pretty tough to think about right now.
Well, that's the thing. You can absolutely imagine that Alabama winning the national championship this year.
Miami's a sneaky one. I think Miami's pretty sneaky.
But it's also true that this is sort of what college basketball is now. You know, people will really start paying attention once you get to the tournament. You know, once upon a time, you knew all these teams, you know, well in advance. Here, the way it works out, it seems like what's interesting is both the NBA and college basketball seem to be absolutely rife with parity this year, both of them, for different reasons, I think. But it's true. I don't know. I guess you can have conviction about the Celtics or conviction about the Bucks. There have been some teams that are really good, but they're both sort of, for different reasons, wide open.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, by the way, Bronny James? Jonathan Givony puts him in his top 10 for 2024 to the Magic. What are your thoughts there? Bronny James hadn't even got to college.
My thought is the question really is interesting. How will that play out? In other words, if you know that you can get Bronny, and with Bronny, you can also get LeBron.
Yeah.
And for LeBron, presumably at a low number. And then, you know, you can bring in some of LeBron's friends or some other stars who LeBron might recruit along with him. You know, what is that worth to you? It's a little bit, like, I'm glad the Grizzlies built the way they built.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have to. They have to, because you're not ever going to get, you know, it couldn't ever be a team constructed of high-profile free agents. But I think it's nice to build the way they build through the draft, organically, all of that. There is some team next year, now whether it's going to be Orlando or whoever else it is, that presumably is going to draft Bronny and is going to get LeBron and is going to get that show. For what, a year? And then what is it worth to you to get that show for a year or 2 years? I don't know. Like, you can totally see that a place like Orlando, which hasn't mattered in forever, that it would be entrancing to them. But I don't know. I certainly wouldn't trade what the Grizzlies have right now, which is the next 5 years of looking relevant and compelling and all of that, for, you know, a year of Bronny and LeBron. You know, yeah. I don't know.
Well, and here's my other thing, and I'm not going to be the person that says, is Bronny even good? I've seen him play. He certainly has the instincts, the IQ. Defensively, he's good. He's locked in on that end, so I think it helps him once he gets to college basketball, wherever he decides to go. But are they going to force him out of school after 1 year if he's a 3-4-point-per-game scorer? Like, are we convinced that 2024 is the year he's going to come out? I mean, that's the thing that really jumps off the page is a little bit bizarre to me.
I think kind of so, don't you think?
I
don't mean they. Who's they? Who's they? Who's
whether it's LeBron or whoever whoever's in his corner, like that's who I'm talking about.
I think they will. Yeah. So if he goes to college and he has an unimpressive freshman year, first year of college, will he still turn pro so he can play with his dad? Or so, let's be honest, his dad can play with him.
Yes.
I think probably, don't you think? What are the chances that Bronny's going to spend 2 years in college?
I don't think that high. I think, listen, if he has an unimpressive year with college, I sort of wonder what other options would be there for him. I know there's other developmental leagues, yada, 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 that he could join. But
You know what? No, but the truth of the matter is Zaire Williams had an unimpressive year at college, and he got drafted, you know, in the lottery by the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
so you don't have to have an impressive year in college to be drafted.
But
even in the lottery, you don't. You can have if you have tools. And with LeBron, obviously, there's all this other stuff comes to play. Here's what's impressive: his dad's really good.
Yes, 100%.
Impressive. And so, if you're interested in having that show in your town, I don't think it matters whether Bronny scores 16 a game or 6 a game in college.
Yeah.
I hope for his sake that it's more like, you know, 12 to 14 a game.
Yes.
Just because you don't want to be, you know, the eye rolling that you are already sort of doing, like over there, which I totally get cosign. It would be a lot of pressure on him, you know.
Yeah, of course.
There's been a lot of pressure on him being Bronny all along. But yes, if the point is you have to distinguish yourself your first year in college so you don't get mocked being drafted ninth. But Yeah. I have no doubt someone would draft him high just for the
show.
Chance to get LeBron. But then the other thing is, as Jonathan Givony points out, once upon a time there was real question as to whether Bronny was really, you know, not good. He was good, but whether he on his own merits was even a first round pick, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the arc of his play enough to know, but there seems to be a consensus that he has actually become not just, LeBron's son, that he actually has, you can imagine a universe where he would be drafted, not where he is necessarily, but in the first round anyway. And that makes it all a little more palatable, I think.
Yeah, and you bring up the Zaire Williams pick. That's a tools pick. Like, Bronny is a good player, but I don't know if he has those overwhelming physical traits that blow you away. He's 6'6", he's 185, shoots a decent three ball, but he's not jumping out of the gym like his dad was. He's not as physically sort of big and dominant as his dad was. So, like, making a traits pick at number 10 for a guy that doesn't have traits is pretty interesting to me.
I wouldn't say it's a traits pick. What I would
right,
say
it's just for the show.
It is. What I would say is that with Zaire Williams, college production was not the overwhelming factor. And with Bronny James, college production won't necessarily be the overwhelming factor.
That's fair.
There will be other factors. In Zaire's case, it is his ability to jump out of the gym and to run the court. And in Bronny's case, it's his ability to bring in a pretty famous father who's really good at basketball.
Yes.
And selling tickets, you know?
Yes. Yes. Butts in the seats. Last thing for Jeff Calkins. Grizzlies get going tomorrow. The schedule's tough, but I think when you look around the Western Conference, the Kings have a tougher schedule, the Clippers, the Suns. Do you see any scenario where the Grizzlies sort of lose out on this second spot in the West? And I know that Steven Adams is going to be out for likely two games going into the weekend. But do you see a scenario where they lose this number two spot in the West?
I can see lots of scenarios. Would I predict it? No. Just because, when you're only looking at this many games, a 3-4 game cushion is meaningful. And so they have a meaningful cushion. But sure, if they lose, what did they lose? 7 out of 8, once. If they lose 7 out of 8, I think they'll lose the two seed in the West. So I don't think they will lose 7 out of 8. I think you're allowed to hit ruts. And obviously that rut, corresponded with the absence of Steven Adams. And so I don't expect them to duplicate that bit of bad fortune. But sure, I think it's fine to say, I think the most likely scenario is they will be two in the West, which is pretty amazing, really.
Yes.
But sure, I think there are plenty of scenarios where they could get caught. I just don't think any of those is the most likely scenario.
Yep, no question. Jeff, always appreciate it, man.
See you, sir. Yep. Bye.
Stay safe out there. Jeff Calkins, braving the elements out there in the rain. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. He's a columnist at the Daily Memphian, and also is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 on these airwaves. Let's go ahead and grab a break. And after the break, we'll have plenty to get to. Pac-12 media rights have come down to Apple TV Plus, and also we'll have an Aaron Rodgers update on the other side. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Could you tell where my head was at when you found me? Me and you went to hell and back just to find peace. Man, I thought I had everything. I was lonely.
Back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Now, Bennett, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. This was from 365 Sports with David Smoke. He's from Sikkim. He does work for Baylor. But he had Jamie Pollard on. And we talked about this before we got off the show yesterday about Texas and the Longhorn Network. But Pollard on the show yesterday, the AD for Iowa State. And obviously they ended up losing last night 72-54 against Texas in a game that's a top 25 game that's on Longhorn Network.
Did you find Longhorn Network?
No, I couldn't. Okay. I couldn't. You don't get it. You have to subscribe to it, apparently.
Really?
Yes. So
it just doesn't come with your ESPN subscription.
I think there's extra. Yeah, you have to pay extra on top. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. But Jamie Pollard was asked about that situation, and he gave a very short answer. He said, "Can't leave soon enough." Can't leave soon enough talking about Texas and the Longhorn Network. So I get that. That's funny. That does lead into what's going on with media rights deals around the country. And the Pac-12 is in a world of hurt. Now, their current media rights deal will be done after this year. So they're trying to re-up right now with what they have with the L.A. market leaving. And it is going horribly. And when I say horribly, I mean that. ESPN, Fox, and Amazon Prime are all concerned about getting involved. And per Andrew Marchand of the New York Post today, and he does business, sports business for them, for the New York Post, he wrote that Apple TV Plus is emerging as the most real possibility to land the deal. So full streaming for the Pac-12 and all of their major sports. That is insanity.
That would be a disaster.
It is a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. This is, George Kliavkov has made this bed that he has to lie in right now. And you have Washington, who owns that Seattle market when it comes to college sports.
Mm-hmm.
You have Oregon, who owns the Portland market and also has that Nike money that's very, very important in the grand scheme of things with Phil Knight. They're ready to jump ship to the Big Ten at the drop of a hat. You have the four corner schools, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, ready to field Big 12 offers, and the Big 12 has a decent media rights deal coming their way relatively soon. This is a mess.
No, dude, this is like, If this happens, like if that's what it ends up being, like you just can only watch Pac-12 games on Apple TV Plus, it's over.
It's over. It's over for them.
That conference is done.
And then like thinking about SMU and San Diego State jumping to go to the Pac-12,
right,
if that's what they end up finalizing, I guess if it's some insane amount of money that Apple TV Plus is going to throw at them, but based on the fact that it's Apple TV Plus, the only one bidding on this seemingly right now, it's not going to be an insane amount of money. They carry, what, MLS and
MLB
certain days.
Yeah, they do the MLB Friday night game of the week.
And that does not do good numbers.
No, it doesn't.
No matter who it is.
Right.
So, like, that's it. That's embarrassing. And I'm not sure how you sell who you have in this conference, whether it's, again, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, who are involved with other conferences and potential negotiations to join said conferences. How do you sell an all streaming plan to them and keep them around. I guess, again, it would have to escalate. It'd have to be enough money with that streaming service to keep them around, but the money is not going to follow. Listen, I get we have evolved as a society with streaming, but I don't think we've evolved to strictly only streaming. You need nationally televised games for your own good.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Pac-12 ends up this way, I think folding is really, it's in the cards.
Yeah.
It's a real possibility. Now, if I'm any one of those six schools, I am going to, I don't know if I'd wait to see before I start negotiating with these other conferences. I don't know if I'm waiting and seeing.
No, that's like,
jump ship now. Like that's sort of where I'm at. If I'm any one of those six schools that are thinking about it.
Yeah. I want Oregon is the big one, right? Like,
yeah.
Like where, cause I think that it kind of like, as far as, I think they want to go to the Big Ten.
Yeah,
but I don't know if the Big Ten wants them. So that's that one's going to be a really interesting. I mean, when Oregon leaves, you got to think it's done, right?
Well, and I think UW's a bigger fish than people
I do
give credit
for. I agree.
That Seattle market's pretty massive when it comes. And there's no, I mean, Washington State's not grasping that audience as well. And that's a big market. That's a big market.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if the Big Ten comes and gets them as well. But we'll see. We'll see with that. But that would leave four schools behind looking for a home: Stanford, Oregon State, Washington State, and Cal. Where does that head? I my head starts spinning thinking about, you know, Stanford, where they would
have.
Brad pitched the idea last week about them potentially dropping down and being the Wash U out of St. Louis, being just sort of a smart school that does D2, D3 athletics. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that'll happen.
I mean, Mountain West is what comes to mind.
That's a fall from grace.
I know, right? I mean, I don't know what, you know, I think the Big 12, I think at the end of the day, you're going to look up, I do believe that the Big 12 is going to come out on top in this kind of battle between the Pac-12 and Big 12. Yeah, it's going to be the Big 12.
And Brett Yormark was sort of in the same hiring cycle as George Kliavkoff, and he decided to go make moves immediately. And George Kliavkoff has sat on his hands and done nothing in response to potentially, you know, replace the L.A. market. And I know you can't replace the L.A. market, but you can find things within the margins to make yourself better. The Big 12, they went and got Houston and UCF and BYU and Cincinnati. These are not like massive markets that you're going to go nuts over. These are not markets that are that you would think would potentially move the needle. Now, granted, I think it's more than SMU and San Diego State potentially, but the Pac-12 just sat on their hands, worried too much, raised their nose at certain situations. And this is where you end. And this is what you get, because of doing nothing.
That's
because of standing pat. And to think about all of the alliance and the, you know, all of the signaling that was done by George Kliavkoff since he got in that seat. I mean, he was supposed to be revolutionary, coming from BetMGM or not BetMGM, but MGM Resorts, and he was a CFO, and he really knows how to move money and get things rolling. He has gotten nothing done, and this media rights deal is going to suffer because of that. Now, moving on, in the NFL today, we have a little bit of NFL news outside of the Titans. Has Aaron Rodgers emerged from the darkness yet? Has he emerged yet?
It's a good question.
We might get a Pat McAfee hit.
Me and Aaron were both on like spiritual journeys together. Mine was just paternity leave, but yeah, we kind of took our journeys at the same time. I think he's probably close to emerging. Yeah.
Yeah, at some point you'd think.
Yeah.
I mean, it got to be a little bit tough. I mean, he had food served to him through a hole in the wall for 4 days. I would want to get out of there pretty soon, but he seems to think he's going to come out with a plan. But this was discussed earlier on Get Up. Jeff Darlington, of course, does a really good job. He's an insider for the NFL and has some good reporting on these things. This is what he said on Get Up about Aaron Rodgers and his situation with the Green Bay Packers.
Learned two things in the past 24 hours that make me kind of believe that the Jets, it's time for them to simply sign Derek Carr. The first of which is a conversation I had with a very important Green Bay Packers source, who quite honestly believes that Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Packers and that all of this is being overhyped. He looks at the contract that Aaron Rodgers signed last year, the commitment that he gave to the team, and believes that at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Packers.
Really? Really?
Interesting.
Aaron Rodgers back with the Packers after all this nonsense. And I get, you know, if we date this back to last offseason and all of the smoke that came out of that, he got a new three-year deal. He's owed $60 million, $59.4 million going into next year. That's a hard contract to move. But after all this time, to think that he'd land back in Green Bay with the way this has gone, that's a strange, strange thought. And if he comes out of his darkness journey and that's the decision he comes up with, I'm so desensitized to everything when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't it become tiring to talk about?
A little bit.
Doesn't it become
yeah.
tiring to continually every year have these same conversations for him to end up back in Lambeau, back with the Packers? I mean, it's just it's a little bit boring and predictable.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was surprised when I saw this today. And again, it couldn't just not be true. We don't know. But yeah, I was surprised by it because I really thought of all the, you know, he would be the guy that was going to leave. I mean, you said like what was it at the end of that game when like somebody asked for his jersey and he was like, no, I'm going to hang on to this one. It just felt like, you know,
yeah.
the goodbye. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess retirement is still a possibility for him. Right? I guess yeah. that's still on the table, but there is a couple of things.
I'm surprised, though, man. I mean, he's still a really good quarterback.
He's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But he also, if you date it back to last year, didn't create relationships with those young wide receivers in the offseason.
No.
And basically stood to himself in the entire offseason. Continually was a distraction throughout the whole year. I mean, like, he's a great quarterback, but at this point in his career, it comes with baggage. It comes with extra that I don't think if you're the Jets, I obviously you want him as a quarterback. You raise your ceiling to a Super Bowl immediately. I don't know if Derek Carr has that same effect. But he comes with baggage that I don't know if a lot of front offices and owners and guys in those circles want to deal with.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree.
Now, there are a few things that have to happen to get Aaron Rodgers traded if he were to go to the Jets. And I think this is sort of where the Jeff Darlington thing comes in. One, has to decide he wants to play. I think that's first and foremost. Mm-hmm. He has to decide he wants to continue playing in the NFL. Two, he'd have to revise his contract. Again, $59.4 million owed to him next year. He'd have to make that go under the cap to whatever team he's going with, so he'd have to restructure. Three, he'd have to waive his no-trade clause, so he can decline at this moment any trade that he does not like. And the Packers have said no NFC trades, so they're not even going to offer him up. We'll see what Aaron Rodgers would want or wouldn't want if he gets on the trade market. But also, he can decide, as we've heard, that he can come back to the Packers. We will see.
Man. I miss the days of not too long ago when we talked about him having a house in Franklin, Tennessee, and then his next destination would be the
Titans.
Yeah,
you long for those days.
Oh, man, that was the good times. Yeah. Now it's just we hope Ryan Tannehill's back.
Well, I mean, what really fits, though? I mean, outside of the Packers, Raiders and Jets are the only ones
yeah.
that make sense because they're not going to go NFC with him.
Right.
They strictly want to trade him out of the NFC so they don't have to play him consistently and him beat them. So Raiders and Jets are the only thing on the table.
Yeah, you don't think 49ers, like,
Because they don't want to trade him into the NFC.
Yeah,
that's what they've
that's
said.
Right, that's right, that's right.
So that becomes the complication there, although they could completely go back on that promise.
Right.
If he was a 49er, that would be that roster. That's immediately shortest odds to win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. All those weapons with Aaron Rodgers and a good O-line and that defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be great. But it just feels like if we're sticking to what the Packers and all the reports have been, it's AFC, and that would be Raiders Jets.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, my gosh. Hopefully he breaks his silence here soon and comes out of the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the sun might hurt him a little bit. He'd probably have to.
We miss you, Aaron.
Yeah. Do we?
I do.
Yeah. I want to hear, instead of all these reports, though, I do want to hear some sort of confirmed reports coming from his mouth. That's the issue. I mean, he went after Schefter and Rappaport last time he was on with Pat McAfee.
Yeah, he did.
Basically saying, if it's not coming out of my mouth, my circle's tight. I have a really tight circle. we'll see. We'll see what happens when he emerges from the darkness. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of hour number two when we come back. We have some food talk to get to. I had my tasting for my wedding that's 7 months out yesterday, and I want to talk some food in the city of Memphis. We'll return with that. Small talk on the other side, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
So, in honor of my catering tasting yesterday,
yep.
By the way, when did you get married? When was it, wedding-wise?
October 2013.
Rock on.
Yeah, so okay. 10 years this year.
Congrats.
Thank you,
that's
man.
That's a big, what are y'all planning for it?
We're going to do like a West Coast trip. We're not sure exactly what all we're going to do. I got some friends in LA and San Francisco. I know we're going to LA. I know we're going to go to Anaheim, do Disneyland for a couple days.
But we're going to
do a West Coast road trip.
May I suggest, just because I love the city of San Diego, make a stop in San Diego.
Okay.
Got to make that happen.
I think it's 40 minutes from Anaheim or something like that.
Yeah,
an hour.
It's a slower version of LA.
Yeah.
Right, like that's the draw because you've been to LA, I'm sure. So
no, I haven't.
You haven't?
No, this is why we're doing this. We've never been to LA. So
leave early.
Yeah.
Leave early.
Okay.
Very early. Okay. I mean, I'm talking like you know a 10-mile drive can become an hour and a half.
An hour, yeah. Okay,
pretty
got
quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, be careful with that. But regardless of that, I did my catering tasting yesterday, and I food is on my mind still. I'm still trying to recover. Still stuffed to the brim, but. Here's where I'm going to go with this. One meal. And now, granted, I'm a very, I don't know about you, but I'm a very moody. Like, I have to be in the right mood for something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a moody eater. Like, if I want barbecue,
yeah,
I'll go get some barbecue, nice food, like, nice restaurants. It is what it is. But let's do this death row style. I'm going to ask this death row style.
Okay.
One meal at any restaurant in the city of Memphis, any, but you have to pick one restaurant, and you can get whatever you want when you get into said restaurant. Which restaurant are you picking?
Okay, so can I?
You can do the moods too. I think you can cover the moods at least a tad bit.
Yeah, I mean, like mine are going to be like. Let me just preface this by saying, like, before I give these basic ass answers, like I've lived here my whole life. Like I'm a Memphian through and through. So I just want that to be established beforehand. You know, so I had a couple like different ones, like different categories, kind of like
I know
you'd mentioned like barbecue specifically.
Yes,
like. And obviously is a lifelong Memphian. Like if I'm just going, like if I'm wanting barbecue, then it's probably, and this is going to sound like, and I don't mean it this, I'm a barbecue nachos guy. And I would probably go with those Rendezvous barbecue nachos.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I know that's cliche, man. I get it. I understand. But like I just, there's something about it going to a game at the Forum and going and getting the nachos from the Rendezvous stand. That's what I like.
You know what it is? It's the nacho cheese over
it's
like
the
sprinkled cheese.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's a cheese sauce. Like that's what that's and the little dry rub on top. That's pretty solid.
From like, but I will say, I think my overall answer would probably be a turkey sub on hard bread from the Chinese sub shop.
Super, which one?
The Super Submarine Sandwich Shop on Highland.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that a suggestion right now?
Have you never been there?
No.
Oh,
not
dude.
Once in my
oh,
life.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Okay, so I think the title is the Super Submarine Sandwich Shop, but everyone that's
so
like,
what's
gone
on
there
it?
Forever has just called it the Chinese Sub Shop. It's it's the bread, first of all.
Yeah.
Like, the bread is – I don't know where they get it, but it's just like a typical like sub sandwich, man. But they got this great bread, and they just they make it right. I get the turkey, but like it didn't have to be. That doesn't matter. It's all about like the bread and
that, the experience.
In the experience. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They also have great Chinese food there too. But yeah, I like the turkey, but like my wife likes like the chicken breast. Dude, that place is incredible. Yeah. If you've never been there, you need to go.
I need to check it out.
Yeah, so they used to be by campus. They used to be over there, like where the rally point was and all that stuff over there. I don't even know what's really there now. I think it's like a McDonald's.
See, the one,
now.
The,
but it's if you're going down Highland from, so if you're crossing over Central, going down Highland, headed towards like Park Avenue, it used to be in a little like shopping center kind of thing on the left, but then they moved to Summer Avenue. Now it's Summer and Highland.
Okay. Yum's is right there too. You're familiar with Yum's.
Yep,
so they
yep.
have subs too.
Yep.
I remember getting those in college.
But so that would probably be my death row meal. Yeah, yeah.
So
I got those. That's one of those that I got to go out of my way to go and get sometimes. Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily call myself a foodie by any stretch of the imagination. I think you have to.
I'm a simple man myself.
Yeah, I'm relatively simple. I like bar food. Like I really do. Like good bar food, of course.
Yep.
So like what I came up with. Obviously, I'm a big Bayou guy. I love the Zydeco wings.
I do too.
That's very solid. Slider Inn's okay. I can deal with Slider Inn. The bar food section, if I had one meal, because of how good they are and their variety is massive. How about Bar Dog? Where are you at on Bar Dog?
Yeah, I like Bar Dog. I don't get downtown as much as I used to
because
I'm down there.
I've been to Bar Dog
at the Forum all the time, and so like I never like want to go downtown besides just right? being like yeah. But no, they've got great food. Bar Dog's got great.
I mean, they've got like the. It's funny, like they have like Chipino, and they have like all like they have. Mm-hmm. It's a, obviously it's a sort of grungy type place, but they have like all of the critically acclaimed type food. They have like seafood and everything else. And then I like nice restaurants in town. Where are you at? What's the where's
nice
the spot? Like obviously Coastal Fish is new. Coastal Fish I really do like. Porch and Parlor. I think that's the same restaurant group if I'm not mistaken.
I mean Hog and Hominy's great.
So those are the two Hog and Hominy's.
Yeah,
that's right around the corner.
Pizza,
I go there too often.
Dude, they
honestly
put the egg on the pizza.
Which one is that?
So they got the one that they do the egg with the pork. I don't know what it's called. Thunderbird.
Yeah. Thunderbird's the, I think that's the pepperoni.
That's
with the
pepperoni
with
the
honey
glaze.
That's
okay.
good stuff too.
Okay, then I don't know what the one I'm thinking of is where they put the egg on it, but
it's got the pork. I know exactly what you're talking.
Yeah.
It's pork belly on there too.
It's good.
That's good.
good
stuff. An egg.
Yeah.
An egg and pork belly. I don't think you can go that wrong. But their pizzas, you know, they don't have the regular.
I mean, a couple like that I put on here, like a barbecue sandwich from Payne's. Like
that's
classic.
Good stuff.
Honestly,
the smoke
Uncle Lou's is another go-to for me. Yep,
smoked turkey from Central Barbecue. I think they do. When you're talking about turkey, that's best in town.
It's good eating.
But I'm very moody. I'm very moody when it comes to my choice.
I think we're very common in our simple tastes.
Yeah, you know, Bar Dog. I think I'll go there with this. That's how I'm feeling tonight.
Nice.
But tomorrow, completely could be a different thought process altogether. But that'll do it for hour number two. Still have plenty upcoming on the Gabe Kuhn Show from 6 to 7. We have the Blitz coming up at 6:30. We have plenty to break down there. 6:50, we'll get out with the Rewind. But coming up next, Alan Bell joins us. We'll get you some wagering nuggets. We'll talk Titans. Plenty to come on the Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.